When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hi guys, Alex here. So there's still time to vote for both Rusty Quill Gaming and our narrative horror podcast, The Magnus Archives, in the 2016 Podcast Awards. Like we've said before, this is a fantastic opportunity for independent companies like ours, and we can't make use of it without your help. Daily voting is open till Sunday, 12th of June, and each of you can vote for each category once a day in that period. It's free to do and only takes 30 seconds a day, but it is a huge deal for us and will absolutely help us launch even more projects for you to get your greasy story mitts on. So make sure to head over to podcastawards.com every day until the 12th of June and vote for Rusty Quill Gaming in the Games and Hobbies category and the Magnus Archives in the Arts category. Better yet, why not get every single person you've ever met to vote for us too? I mean, how hard could that be? So without further ado, thanks for your support and we hope you enjoy today's episode. And welcome to episode 40 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with you today I have...
Ben Meredith.
Lydia Nicholas.
Bryn Monroe.
Da-da-da.
And a notable silence.
Yes.
I'm James. Or Bruto. It sounded a bit like Bruto.
They're kind of similar when you think about it.
Funny interlude.
Who are you playing?
Heartbroken Hamid.
Flattened, but, you know, reinflated Sasha.
Oscar Wilde sucks. Oh, Zolt Smith, sorry.
Sure. Bertie's gone. Bertie's departed. So, with that in mind, we should pick up where we left off. The party were in Paris.
Yes.
And whilst investigating L'Arc d'Ordinateur, Sasha got her memory a little bit modified, and the party was a little bit suspicious.
And we thought that was the worst thing that could happen to Sasha that day.
Ended up chasing up Amélie Rose, who was working for La Gazette Grande, which turned out to be a fairly run-down...
massive newspaper.
And stumbled into a elderly, overweight man.
And he took us down.
He took you down hard. Sasha almost died, brutal. So close to dying... And yeah, it all went a bit pear-shaped, but nonetheless, she managed to have a dig around and managed to find an alternate address for Amélie Rose. And a few more little details, a few more info.
Something strange is going on.
But it was very clear that something strange is going on. This was backed up by Hamid when he went on his date.
But I haven't shared that info with you guys yet because we were rudely interrupted by Mr. Oscar Wilde.
Yeah, who came and had a little bit of a back and forth with Zolf Smith.
Water, outfit change, water, outfit change, water, outfit change. Yeah, hey, you don't need to listen to last week's episode.
We've also found out that he's a magic user, which is an interesting development from the real-life Oscar Wilde, who, as far as I know, was not a wizard.
You have not studied.
A wizard of language.
A wizard of the word. Yeah.
Nonetheless, you just managed to, after Oscar Wilde warned you, catch up to Bertie to see him depart on a train.
Yeah.
He is gone.
It was like some kind of 50s movie.
Leaving on a steam train.
that's powered by magical elementals. We will pick up with Sasha and Zolf catching up to Hamid, who's been chasing after Bertie.
I'm on the platform.
You're on the platform.
Looking forlorn.
Looking very forlorn.
What, did you see did you see Bertie? Where is he?
He was on that train. I think he saw me, but he didn't stop to say goodbye.
That didn't go well. No. So he's obviously...
What did you say to him that annoyed him so much?
I didn't say anything. I didn't get to talk to him.
I think he was...
All right.
This is interesting.
I know he can be difficult, but he's been my friend for a long time. I wish he'd said goodbye, at least.
Well, he was probably sad about his dog, innit?
Yeah,
I guess. I
don't know if Bertie feels sad. But if he did, he would feel it about the dog.
Well, he didn't lose much capital, so...
Mm.
Whatever. Right, anyway, we can't be dealing with him sulking. If he comes back, he comes back. If he doesn't, he doesn't. We've got to be professional about this. I know he's your friend, but I've got to, you know, we've got to draw a line under it.
And save the world and everything.
Well, that's what I'm, you know, I've just been chased up by...
We've still got an important job to do.
Yeah.
There's lots to do. I mean, in the morning, though, yeah?
Oh, God, I need sleep for days.
My back is still...
I mean, Madeline told me some stuff about, you know, the ordinateurs and... the stuff going on at the Ark, but we should talk about that in the morning. It's not urgent.
Okay. Right, good night's sleep. Things will look a bit brighter in the morning.
Always useful.
Yeah.
Always useful.
Maybe you'll have come back by the morning.
Yeah. Awkwardly pat handed on the back.
We will skip time ahead.
Yeah.
You'll head back to your... You take comfort in your enormous, ridiculously ostentatious flat, but even then, I think it might be feeling a little bit empty.
Yeah.
Without the yells of, over. Anyway.
Was that supposed to be Bertie or Brutal?
Does it matter?
No. We've undergone such losses.
So, next morning.
Yep.
You've slept well despite all the problems. And...
Slept the sleep of the dead.
It is morning. What is your plan?
Sasha has realised that the massive scar on her back as she was getting dressed in the morning looks a lot like a giant falcon that has been impressed into... her back from potentially when the massive suit of armour with a tiny brain stuck in it on top of her from a great height. So she might come back into breakfast slightly annoyed.
You're right, Sasha, you seem...
Yeah, it's just such a shame that Bertie's no longer with us when we will carry him in our hearts and on our back.
What?
Nothing.
What, because of that scar?
Hamid and Zolf make eye contact and then...
Yeah, it's just a scar. It's going to... You got really badly hurt. I mean,
stupid scar. The burn was fine, but it's just...
I mean, I can take a look at it if you want. See if I can
get
to help it.
Okay. No!
All right. I am trained and magic, so...
What seems to be the problem? It's okay, I'm magic.
Maybe you just find Emily Rose and see if she's got any birds stuck on her.
What?
Nothing.
I fill you guys in about the date and what I learned and how it seems like maybe this, what's going on at the Ordinateurs is quite similar to what went on at the paper with people like leaving mysteriously and that kind of thing.
Do you think somebody's maybe replaced Francois with someone else? That would explain why he's not taking any callers and... change the memory. You know, it might be an illusion getting him in and out. And
he was a lovely guy. I just said hello.
What did he look like?
Normal. Like
no, but anything else?
Just...
What were the colour of his eyes? Hair? What was he wearing?
Eyes. Like, grey, brown, green kind of colour.
Yeah.
I mean, if someone can mess with people's memories and people's personalities, they could be doing that to him as well. Like, it may not have been him that cast the spell on Sasha. It could be... whoever was doing it to him.
Well, that's what I mean.
But, I mean, it doesn't need to be a replacement.
Or, oh, I suppose,
it could just be manipulation. So, something really strange.
And replacing people looks like maybe... She said the mood changes?
Getting rid of people. Yeah, changing their personalities.
So trying to control people and then maybe getting rid of people who... Like, making them want to leave.
Yeah.
If they can't be controlled. So slowly just filtering
strange.
Out.
Yeah.
But why? And what's it got to do with...
Well, if someone could take control of the Ordinateurs, I mean, that would be a really big deal. I mean, they could... change the entire world through the application of, you know, economics, essentially. They could topple governments, make new ones powerful.
I don't feel like economic espionage is really our wheelhouse, though.
The what of what?
Well, we don't... spying on people to steal their money
That sounds like something we do quite a lot.
But yeah, in but a slightly like different way than normal.
Big, like really big
people.
Big.
They're really easy to spy on.
Not. No, on a grand scale, like governments.
All right.
Whole economies.
Oh, they are hard. They've often got gargoyles. System. Yeah. No, they're difficult.
Like, I don't.
Yeah.
The locks in Westminster, pretty hard.
I did not hear that. That didn't happen. You didn't try to break into anywhere where of people that we work for.
It would be bad.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think we need to establish what's actually going on. I mean, it might not be our job, but we don't have enough to go on right now to take it to anyone else.
Yeah, we could report.
And what's a wheelhouse?
Area of expertise.
Right, okay. So, shall we go ask this Amelie Rose?
I think that's the best thing to do, yeah, is to go and talk to her.
Right, I think maybe be careful in case we... I'll go up the front, you go around the back or whatever, or maybe the other way around so they don't run off and then drop.
Yeah, that would be...
So we actually, yeah, all right, we prep it. Well, I'll go to the front, because obviously I can't move very fast.
There's something else I need to check as well, quickly. Oscar Wilde seemed to think that my family had been in the press recently, and that got me a bit worried.
All right, I'm trying to leave this discussion of abstract concepts.
I just can't
stab them, never been taught them, not really exactly sure what a government is, apart from a place where lots of money is kept, and go away to ask about... newspapers.
So you ask one of the butlers to bring all of the papers. Yep. Okay. There is a
reading montage.
There is a delay, at which point four butlers come in with every single publication basically within Paris, including all of the British papers that they have delivered. There's
and the Egyptian papers.
Oh yeah, there's reams and reams and reams Europe. And reams. It's more than if you were all sat and read all day, you would be able to, and they're just going dropping piles and piles of it. They've gone completely over.
I'm going to start with the Egyptian papers, but I'm glad that we have the rest of them if I need them.
I'm going to start with the British papers because that's the only language I read. So in ancient Greek? No.
No.
Do you want me to like ask one of the butlers whatever to stay here today and read through and then
no,
tell us?
I don't. I'd rather do it myself.
I mean, if it's your family, it'd probably be pretty big news anyway.
Tell me how long you're willing to search.
An hour, maybe two.
I go straight to the FT.
Sure. Both of you give me a perception check.
Oh, God.
I think I 20. Read the French tabloids.
Give me a perception check.
9.
Ooh, 28. So I really hope that whatever it is you got has got into the gutter press.
Okay, so going round, on the 28, what you find is there isn't anything that you think could be referring to the Tahans. What you do notice is there's been a really interesting sort of pendulum swing on public opinion from the Bertie piece. So what was sort of a joke and so on like that is there's been lots of articles going, like lots of comment pieces. I'm glad that some people are just willing to, you know, put themselves out there. We ought to have more stuff like this. Actually, public sentiment seems to be
shifting
very much in Bertie's favour for it. It's like, it's good to see that a strong figure, whether male or female, can be willing to be vulnerable, which is a strength in itself. Like it's taken as a weird empowerment angle in all of the popular media of Paris. In the UK, there's much less of that. It's not really getting that much traction as a story. You notice there is a lot to do with Dover, which is their flood finally appears to have broken. The financial damage from it is massive. And there's been some reports of unusually high levels of violence in other London. It's mostly because the papers that you're heading are kind of skimming past it, because the UK, you know, doesn't like publishing papers in this world that are disparaging of themselves. But you get the impression there may have been some riots in other London recently or something similar. Hamid, from your search, you find barely a mention of it, but there's just a couple of little stubs here and there mentioning that the Tahan branches in Egypt, Cairo specifically, have been having some errors, effectively computing problems, some accounts that are closed without meaning to, open without meaning to, a sudden spike in clerical errors, which is... Once you get past that sort of back and forth of, oh, this is very inconvenient for me, people are just going, well, it's an endemic problem. When systems get this complicated, of course there are problems, blah, blah, blah.
Entropy, my great nemesis.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, take from all of those what you will.
Right.
All right, it looks like all these things are actually quite good about Bertie. Like, look at this. And I put it in front of Zolf, and although it's in French, it, I assume, has a reprint of the Bertie photo. Like, it's saying that it's good that he's being all soft in the picture, because that is strong. It's hard to be soft.
Right.
I did a pun!
Oh, did one. Sorry, yes. Well, no, well done.
I'm trying now, he's gone. You read anything interesting?
Yeah. Nothing about the Tans, but there's been... what appears to be some riots in other London.
That doesn't happen, like, no. He's, Barrett's got it all under control.
Open article, point to the bit where it says... there's been some riots in other London.
They're probably trying to cover up some weird stuff, like they've done.
Why would
some
they cover something up with a riot?
They've been trying to, like, so the higher ups will be like, oh well, there's been some damage done above ground because he's committed some crimes, and yeah, and so they'll have said that there's a riot, but it's just no one riots down there. I mean, you get gang fights, but they don't get massive because everything's locked down.
Right. Well. Fair enough, I thought I'd mention it.
Doesn't seem to be too much about my family, but just some sort of offhand references to a few issues with our
Do you think Wild
systems?
Knows
I don't
something
know.
That hasn't been published yet?
Is it weird system stuff like the Ordinators do?
I hope not.
I wonder if that's... should we check other banking news? Not just the Tahans, but if this is this a trend?
Could be.
Sasha's getting quite antsy over the idea of staying in and reading more papers about economics.
Let's come back to it all this evening after we've done
other
things today.
Sure. So we're going to go see Emily. Well, we're going to go visit her house.
Seems to be a bit unlikely that she'll be there, but best place to try.
So yeah, I guess if I approach it sort of at the front because I ain't moving much.
Let's go see what the house looks
like. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So you start heading off.
Yep.
That's get a fine. Cab part of the way.
Sure. One of the automated ones, we'll say.
Yep, definitely.
Yes.
Definitely pick the automated one. Does it fly? Can you make it fly?
I love the idea that you're slowly taking apart the cab that's getting you to where you want to go.
Just sort of looking at how it works.
You've arrived at your turn left. Turn left. Turn left. You have arrived at your turn left. We will skip ahead. You've travelled through Paris and you're close towards the outskirts. It is not a poor area. It is not a wealthy area. It is just a middling district for, you know, working professionals, that kind of thing. You find the address that you've come to, and it is an apartment block. And there is, you know, a bunch of buzzers effectively on the left-hand side. They're actually tiny little pentagrams that you have to push. Mm-hmm. But there is even one which should be Amelie Croze, but it's actually the Johnsons.
Are we at the right house? Because
yeah,
it says...
I mean, but we know that she might not have been there for a few months, so perhaps someone else moved in. Maybe the Johnsons wouldn't mind us just asking them when they arrived. They sound English.
Yeah, could be. After that, maybe try her mum.
Yeah, they might. Yeah.
She
might
probably won't have moved.
Could be a forwarding
it's
address.
Less likely, yeah.
People that want to be found, I've heard.
That's true, yeah.
Leave
that
forwarding
that
addresses.
Happens.
Yes, we could be asking, like, oh, we thought that.
Almost.
Yes. Yeah.
Just ask, be polite.
All right.
I'll go around the back and stand around the fire escape. Okay. You do it, Hamid, because you can't speak French. I said to Zolf, as if he wasn't
English.
Aware of that.
Okay, I'll do the talking then.
Tactics.
Okay. Right.
Okay, so Hamid out front, Sasha around back.
But I'm not Bertie. What's going on? Help! Zolf is standing next to Hamid.
I push the buzzer.
Sure. There's a brief delay. You don't hear any noise or anything. Mm. Eventually there's someone coming down. A huge man. Bertie-sized, big, bushy beard. Very, very sort of muscular, very kind of weathered. And he looks very, very strong, very, very sort of capable.
You expect to see him in some sort of pit fight.
He looks like he has been out in the sticks somewhere. And he opens the door and goes, "Hello? How can I be helping you today?"
Oh, it's nice to hear a...
English!
Yeah.
I love it. Fantastic. How can I help you?
Right,
terribly sorry to bother you, we were actually...
Oh, hello there, little man!
Hi.
He reaches his hand out to shake.
Shake his hand.
It's like encompassing your arm. He's huge, and he's very tanned, very, very tanned.
We're really sorry to bother you. We're actually looking for the person we think we might be the previous occupant of your apartment.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
How long have you been living here, if you don't mind my asking?
Oh, well, me and my family, we moved in about 4 months ago now.
Okay, so
loving it. Loving it.
Do you know who lived here before you?
I've got a forwarding address.
Oh, that would be brilliant. Yes, it's Amelie Rose, we believe, is the name. Is
I don't know. I never met the woman.
You wouldn't mind giving us a forwarding address,
that would be so helpful.
Of course. You want to come in for a drink? It's nice to hear a friendly voice.
We're quite busy. It's an urgent thing, unfortunately.
It would actually be really nice, but.
Yeah.
We should really...
What lawyers are you? His manner completely changes just looks very aggressive.
No.
Why would you...
You know the lawyers can't lie, so if I ask you and you say you're not, you...
I point to the trident.
His manner completely changes again. Great!
why are you worried about lawyers?
Can't stand lawyers. Can't stand them. He just disappears upstairs.
All right.
Comes back down eventually.
We follow?
No.
Okay.
Comes back down eventually with a piece of paper.
Yeah. And when he's gone, I don't think we'd ever leave. I think he's too hospitable.
Just hands it over. There you go. I mean, for what it's worth.
Thank you so much.
No, that's really helpful.
Really nice.
And yeah, no worries.
Always nice to meet someone who speaks the same language.
I know,
in a foreign
right?
country.
I just, you know, like I'm here with work. I didn't want to be, but you know, it's growing on me. But the language is, yeah, it's cool, right?
What's your work?
Oh well, I used to be working in mining in the Americas, actually.
Oh yeah.
But it's not a place to bring up a family, not really. It's
still quite wild out there.
Yeah, it's pretty hard. It's pretty hard living.
Yeah.
When my wife got pregnant, we came here. You know, there's work to be done.
You still mining, or are you doing stuff with the catacombs?
I do some construction with the catacombs. Although it's dropped off a lot recently. Actually, we're kind of on a hiatus.
Oh, why is that?
You tell me.
Right, fair enough. Then.
The man says stop, we stop. The man says go, we go. Am I right? He claps you on the shoulder and boom!
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your help.
Hey, no worries.
Good luck.
And yourself, what was the name?
Hamid.
Hamid, pleasure. Always good to meet a halfling. You guys know how to have a fun time.
Thank you.
Mr.
Zolf Smith.
Shakes hands.
I will give him, enough for a nice drink and say, you know, for the information. Thank you very much.
He looks at it and looks a little bit hurt. Now, come on. Drops it back down. Hospitality is not dead, my friend.
Well, I wanted to say appreciate it.
Well, nonetheless, now you've forced my hand. He reaches in, pulls out a hip flask, pulls out a collapsible cup, pours you a tiny bit. I will not let you go until you've had some.
Thank you very much. Subtly sniff it.
It's basically petrol.
Brilliant.
It's so potent.
That means it's probably not poison, because a lot of things would probably die in there. That's not how poison works. Down it.
It doesn't have much in the way of flavour, but it's strong.
Wow, that's...
Takes it back.
Yeah, that would...
I used to brew it myself, gotta say, though. You can't really do that in an apartment, am I right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, anyway.
Wow.
It's been a pleasure, guys.
Oh, no, thank you. Pleasure.
Have a good one.
You too.
Closes the door.
Sasha sort of peeks around. It's been a while because the guy's gone up and down. Yeah. Oh no, Zolf! Because he's all dizzy. Like, did he magic you?
No.
You all right, Zolf?
Gave me a drink.
One drink.
I'm fine. It's just quite a, you know, strong. It got a bit of a kick to it.
Right, he kicked you.
No. Sasha, you're having a problem with metaphors today.
Just.
Is the address the mother's address?
Yeah.
Is it the same one?
Yeah, it's
yeah
same
that's
as
fine.
Mother.
That's kind of what. It's, yeah, but that's good.
Right, good. Well, it's her mum, so
yeah,
take a while.
We should probably hire
a gyrocopter. Yes, I was thinking the same thing. If we took a gyrocopter, we could get there today.
We'll get there today anyway. I mean, it's not that
sooner
far.
Today.
Yes, but none of us know how to pilot a gyrocopter.
Oh, I see. A taxi.
We could hire one.
That's really expensive.
Could probably ask. Put it on the hotel's account. I don't know why I'm agreeing.
Tell the hotel.
No,
yeah.
I think we should just hire.
Bet the
car
hotel
that we
has
can
its
drive ourselves.
Wait, drive ourselves.
Smash cut two. There is three small one-person vehicles driving along the road. They're very, very small. It's basically transport only. No space for baggage or anything.
You say there are three, but there's two because Sasha was so far ahead. Obviously.
But yeah, it's actually effectively a driverless car. You can drive it if you want. But
she
if you just
want. Maybe then she's behind because she keeps trying to drive and is making much worse decisions.
Turns
than
left, then lets go. The car immediately puts back on the road that she was on. She turns right, puts her back on the road she was on.
Oh, that's interesting. Headed down the hall.
It's actually the closest thing is imagine a sidecar for a motorbike. Something that you can actually sit in, so it's not, you know, knees up to your shoulders, but it's kind of like a little buggy thing. Okay. We will skip time ahead, a few hours pass.
It's maybe good that Google exists in this world.
We'll skip ahead, like I said. Eventually you start heading back in towards the countryside. You're actually heading vaguely near to where you guys washed up. Not the same village, nowhere near the same distance. But nonetheless, you are sort of approaching it. And then you find yourself getting a bit more isolated, and you're approaching an isolated farmstead. It looks like it's not an actual active farm. It looks like someone's bought a run-down old place and sort of done it up, something like that. It's quiet, there's a yard, a couple of dogs barking.
Right, so...
I can cover the back.
Be a good plan. I don't think anything's going to go wrong here, but... Hammond, you probably...
Harder to run away through fields than over rooftops.
You think that, like, this is... Sasha has absolutely no idea how to chase someone.
This is the biggest expanse that Sasha's had in a while.
Like, this is not comfortable. I mean, she was distracted while she was in the car. That was amazing. And, you know, it's like, tries to back against a hedge and backs into the hedge. It's spiked and is covered in leaves.
I'm going to say, I think, Hammond, you should do the talking, because if...
Okay.
She might be dead. So asking after your daughter, that could be bad, and we need somebody with a skill for that.
I'll see what I can do.
Oh, cast message on me. Then if it goes well, I can just turn up again.
Okay.
Presumably Hamid goes up to the front door.
I mean, I'll be with, but I'm just not going to talk because I'm me.
I'm just going to sort of just around where roughly where the back edges are, but I can see
skulking
the windows and door and hiding behind a tree.
There's a door knocker, presumably you knock it. Eventually, takes a little while, the door opens, it's on a chain. There's a not elderly, sort of a late middle-aged woman there and behind it. And again, it's in French. Hello? What can I do for you?
Good afternoon. Again, I'm, you know, as polite as it is possible to be. Good afternoon. I'm terribly sorry to bother you. Are you Madame Rose?
Who's asking?
My name is Hamid. I'm actually looking for your daughter.
What do you want?
Just to talk to her, nothing else. We're investigating a matter we think that she may have already investigated, and we want to join forces with her and help her, and hopefully she can help us as well.
Give me a diplomacy check.
20.
Okay. She sort of unlatches the door. You're not the first.
Yes, that's what I wondered.
Who are you with? Why are you here? What do you actually want? I know you want to speak to my daughter, but I don't think I could do with it more than that.
Is she talking to me?
I switched to English.
She's swapping between both of you, assuming that you're speaking.
Yeah.
I switched to English. She's talking to both of us. She wants to know what we want.
I am capable of speaking in English, you know.
I
switched back to French. I'm terribly sorry, I didn't realise. I mean, that wasn't an attempt to exclude you, it's just my companion here doesn't speak French. I switched to English. Would it be okay if we talked in English?
Yes, that's fine. I'm still waiting to find out who you are and why you're here.
Border reading subtitles as well.
So we are mercenaries from London. We're investigating a matter independently currently. We're not directly reporting to any specific employers, but we're trying to discover what might have happened at La Grande Gazette or with the Ordinateurs.
Why? You haven't actually answered my question. What you've done there is evaded. I'm not an idiot.
Because something very strange is going on with the head of the Ordinateurs, and we believe he may have information related to an event that happened in London that we were accidentally involved with.
She looks at you very, very cannily.
I'm not specifically evading, I just don't know how much detail
is going. Fine.
How much do you know about the recent...
This is Edison, isn't it?
Yes.
Fine. She gestures for you to come in.
Thank you so much. There's one other member of our group with us. Is it okay? She joins us as well?
Sure.
I message Sasha. So come on in.
I go quite a long way out, so it looks like I'm coming up the road as if I was walking behind you, rather than coming out from the back of the house. Covered in leaves.
It's like you've had a fight with a hedge and lost.
Yeah, I've had a fight with nature, and I am not enjoying it.
Slightly spooked wide eyes. Like
She, for anyone who's paying attention, she knows exactly what it was. She seems to be quite on it. She closes the door.
Awesome.
The door, sits you down.
So is this Emily? Hi.
No, this is her mother, Madame Rose.
Well, let's be blunt. My daughter's almost certainly dead.
Oh. Sasha jumps up, pulls a stick out of her jacket.
So, yes.
I'm terribly sorry to hear that. What makes you think that?
Journalism sort of runs in our family. She wasn't the first. Neither was I. Put two and two together.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
It's not exactly difficult, is it? The Gazette shuts down from nowhere.
Yeah.
I know they're in some financial trouble, but not that. Then you have the ordinateurs. You've got all the glitches in Paris. I hear it's happening in Egypt now too. There's something going on. She found out too much. She's almost certainly been killed.
Right.
She's handing out tea.
Well,
you should know that this address is sort of available at your daughter's old one, so people could totally find you, because you know we did, and we're not even very good at investigating.
I will just go, oh, my ass.
It wouldn't be the first time I've had someone after me. I wouldn't worry, love.
Yeah, you said someone else had come asking about Emily. Who was that?
And first were the Gazette reporters. And then there was a police officer a while ago now. She's gone.
Right.
I know that officially I received a letter from her and that she's, according to her letter, taking a new exciting position in the east coast of America. She's not interested in America. She's never been interested in America. She doesn't want adventure. She's interested in the literary side of it. Mm. She wants to be a novelist. If I'm frank, she didn't have the skills, but she was perfectly good as an investigative journalist.
Right. Well, it sounds similar to the other people who left.
Yeah. I've received letters since. If it is her, she's behaving incredibly strangely.
Yeah.
Well, on the upside there is that they've got powers to make you act strangely. So
who's they?
The people that mess with my head.
The truth is we don't know. That's what we're investigating. But we think that someone or a group were interfering with the operation of the ordinateurs and the Gazette, and they seem to have some ability to compel people to make decisions.
No different from the meritocrats, really, when you think about it. Compelling people to make decisions.
Perhaps.
As it stands, I mean... Look, I'm trying to be frank with you. If you're coming at this from the Edison angle, you're almost certainly coming at this from some kind of military, I'm guessing?
We're freelancers.
Freelancers, so military then, right.
We're mercenaries, that's not military.
Same difference. In my experience.
I'm certainly not a military man.
Yeah.
Madame.
A mercenary is merely a soldier who can sell himself. For what it's worth, all the others have disappeared who've come around. I haven't heard hide nor hair of them since. I believe the police officer was promoted. Working in somewhere in the south, I can't remember now.
Right.
Do you know what Emily was investigating when she disappeared, specifically?
Yes, that'd be... It's been a bunch of disappearances, both at the ordinateurs and around the place. I believe it began with
Jean-Luc
Bobby.
Yes, that's the one. She was chasing him and then...
Yeah, about 6 months ago.
That's about right.
Yeah. Well, no, the people at the... Arch-Ordinateur said she was there asking about him only 3 months ago.
For what it's worth, that doesn't really surprise me. When she's doing this kind of thing, she can disappear for some time.
Right, so...
And what do you mean about going about it the Edison way? You know what Edison's built?
It was that, machine, wasn't it? The one that makes more of itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an army, basically.
Pretty much.
Infinite army.
Because that's what the world needs. Another army. Fantastic.
Well, someone put a stop to that until they sell it to the highest bidder. But
you're chasing it, aren't you?
Yes, because we're trying to stop it being created by...
Made into an infinite army?
Yeah.
That wouldn't be good.
She looks at Zolf, looks at Sasha, turns to Hamid. Do you really think that's how this is going to play out? Genuinely.
We have reason to believe, Madame, that Edison was not the true creator of that machine.
She leans back, surprised. That is new. Okay.
We're trying to track down the person we believe is truly responsible to make sure that the inventions can't fall into the wrong hands.
One second. She goes away, comes back, puts a box on the table. I mean, he left this with me. She knew there'd be people coming around. You're not the first person I showed. I showed one at the Gazette lot. They disappeared too. For what it's worth, I don't actually think you're knowingly chasing this from the wrong angle, I still think that it's going to come back and bite you. Help yourself.
Thank you. I open the box.
Opening it up, it's full of paperwork.
Do we want to make this a bit easier? Because I can just make sure that no one's lying.
Cleric?
Points at the trident.
Some people just like tridents off.
Not really a common weapon.
Go for it.
Cool. I'll cast Zone of Truth. Will negate. So that is 16.
What do I need
to do? I can't lie.
You are able to lie?
Okay.
The rest of us can't.
Yeah, you're unaffected by the spell.
The thing is that Sasha's really quite unable to lie in front of people anyway.
She turns to Hamid first. What's your most embarrassing memory?
I'd really rather not say.
You can choose.
You can play the game or you can leave the house.
I'll talk about a time at university when I was left standing naked in the middle of the central green of the college.
It was Bertie, wasn't it?
No.
Oh.
That's a nice change. Same question to Sasha.
So there was one time, where we were playing past the coin. And the whole thing is that you're putting it between people's pockets. And
if you're lying, give me a bluff check.
She's not. She's
just choosing to tell the truth.
Yeah.
Sure.
And there was this time, where it was in my Rubber Jonesy pocket.
Alex, sorry.
And everyone knows. And I was like, and he saw me. He saw me take the coin right out of there. How was I supposed to know that he was allergic to cats? But I could have checked. I should have done my research. I learned from that day. I was the one that ended up with the streaming red eyes.
Oh. And finally, Zolf.
Same question.
Yeah.
Being court-martialed.
For?
Going AWOL.
Mm, fair enough. There you go. There's the box.
And yours.
Why should I have to do this? I'm the one who's in danger here. You should count yourself lucky that I'm showing you this tall. I didn't have to let you in this house.
Fine. Well, just guess I won't tell you what happened to your daughter if I find out.
Oh, please. You wouldn't be able to find out. Going through the paperwork, Hamid. It's a really, really well-investigated scenario. There are names, dates of places, where people have been eating, points of contact, things like that. Really boiling it down, there is a lot in there.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Jean-Luc Beaulieu, ordinatist, he actually contacted Emily first.
Mm-hmm.
Then he left for London to live with his family and work on new conceptual systems for ordinateurs. He basically seems to be heading up an entirely new branch for the United Kingdom for ordinateurs and really bumping up their systems. It's a very, very prestigious placement. Dr. Paulette Loop turns out to be an archaeologist who willfully quit her job. She was actually doing archaeological work in the catacombs,
mm-hmm.
and then volunteered for a dig in the Russian wastes. Again, it turns out that it's being led by a very, very prestigious mind.
The information from the...
This is what's in the box that Hamid's
But it's similar
read.
To...
Oh, yes. It's similar.
Paulette
yeah, yeah.
Loop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's, is it better?
It's more detail. Sure. It's giving you dates. It's giving you times. Right. It's giving you people, contacts, etc. Then there's Céline Suchet, who's the church groundswoman. Turns out for Notre Dame. And she effectively was found having an affair with Piaget.
Mm-hmm.
Jacques Piaget. And then suddenly moved to live in India, of all places, with Jacques Piaget. Jacques Piaget, a delivery driver.
Mm.
And there are a list of where he's been delivering and so on. If you wanted to go into that, we can.
So if you say an affair, were they married to other people at the time?
Yes.
Ah.
And moved to live in India with Suchet. There's Vivienne Messier, who's a hydraulics engineer, who has also received an offer of a dream job, who's going to be working in Japan in fluidic systems. And then, obviously, there's François Henri. She's very clearly indicating that he's under some kind of compulsion or something similar. Very atypical behaviour, but he's a closed box. There's no way to get to him. There's no way to see him. No one will let him see him. It even has, actually, a little note that she's going to attempt to woo the receptionist for some more information on the ordinateurs. It's very, very complete, but those are the salient points. Yeah. If you want any more detail, I can go into it.
Has she checked that these jobs exist?
Everything's verified. She has proof of employment. She has date of birth. She has birth certificates. She's gone to incredible lengths on this one.
So the fact is that
as far as she knows, Paulette Loop is actually on an
As far as Emily is concerned, she's got it verified. She's spoken to them via magical communications. She did manage to catch hold of Paulette Loop on her way to the Russian Waste, like she was packing and leaving.
Yeah.
And Paulette Loop, basically, she again suggested she was under some kind of compulsion. There's a little note which says, for what it's worth, she seems very happy.
This seems pretty positive, really. Like, none of them vanished in terms of dying.
Yeah.
It was something far more insidious, though.
I thank Madame Rose for the information. I say we were aware of a lot of this, but this is much more detailed than the information we had. So it's really useful. But there's one thing I still don't understand. I mean, we've had this list of names before. We knew what had happened to a couple of them, but not all of them. But why this list of people? What links these people? That's still never been clear to us.
The Ordinatist, he got in touch with her first, saying there was something peculiar happening there. She started sniffing around, found lots of reports of construction work stopping in the catacombs, that kind of thing, redirected work, redirected funds. From there, she seems to have examined the catacombs. The catacomb angle, of course, led her via the archaeologist. I'm not sure where she goes, why she goes to the groundskeeper.
There's so much here, but there's also, it's almost like the most important points have been left out. The actual reason for these people to be involved, to be on the same list.
The catacombs, maybe.
Yeah, is Notre Dame a good way into different bits
it's
of the catacombs?
Crit.
Yeah.
That was my thought.
If you were going to do a job on Notre Dame, obviously you'd want to go through the catacombs.
From what I understood, she started doing a wider search. Sudden, amazing, fortuitous promotions, sudden, amazing inheritances and so on.
Piaget was a delivery driver. Did he deliver to Notre Dame? What was his route? Is that it in here? I'm looking through it again, like I've tried to read it.
So heading through into, there's a list of deliveries. His delivery firm, we'll say, works for a number of companies, but there's highlighted the fact that he's done multiple trips to L'Arc d'Ordinateur, none to Notre Dame. But he's also done a decent number to catacomb construction work and renovation and so on.
Makes sense.
And then Vivien Messier is a hydraulics engineer.
So Vivien Messier, PhD, specialising in large integrated systems, very large thesis on ways of, you know, dynamic fluid solutions, by which I mean things like she suggested how fluids could be used in ordinateur work and so on. A couple of years ago was working on the ordinateurs and was brought in within the last 12 months to do some follow-up work. There's not very much detailing on what the follow-up work is. And then immediately after that, departs for Japan with a family for a very happy life, presumably.
Right.
Thing is, right, once you got Francois Henri as the boss, why do you need to mess with all the others? He could just order stuff done.
Keep the information secret. Stop it getting out if they're working on something they shouldn't be. So is there anything else that you have discovered, or is this it?
She takes a moment and pulls out from her pocket a letter from Amelie.
I will hand it to Hammond.
Sure. Effectively, what it boils down to is this is the last letter you will receive from me, which is real. If I'm writing to you after this point and I'm not seeing you in person, it might be me, but it's not me. I may as well be dead. I love you. Gives an address for a deposit box. If things go as I expect, you will be mailed what's inside this box. It's a dead hand policy.
I've
used it myself. It's very good insurance.
So, have you done any other investigation?
This arrived a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
These things can take a little time.
Okay, in which case, if you're, you know, you said it running your family, I'm assuming you're an investigative journalist or something of the kind, what's your next move? What would be your next move?
Give me a perception check.
Well, I think we should...
18.
Retread Emily's steps ourselves.
At that point, you see a couple of youngish children sort of just passing through the bay windows at the back, playing amongst the fields. What I'm going to be doing is keeping my nose clean, looking after my grandchildren.
But if you had three people that
yeah.
were quite disposable...
What would be your next move?
Catacombs.
Yeah.
She sort of leans back, puts a pen down.
I was almost saying it in...
Yeah.
Right, Sasha pulls another leaf out of her jacket and looks incredibly happy at the news that she'll be going underground to a complicated, dark, potentially evil urban setting. Much more comfortable there than all of this green.
Yeah. Right, well.
There's an archaeological dig. It's inactive at the moment, but it'll be a decent entrance for you, unless you want to go via the sewers.
Yeah, one of the miners on it lives in your daughter's old apartment.
I'd love to say it's a small world, but if this world got any smaller, there won't be any space for us. Am I right? Mm.
Right, well...
Small spaces can be good for a...
Stab
in the back.
I assume we're done here then?
Thank you so much for your help. If we do learn anything, we'll share it with you.
Yeah, even if you don't think we're up for it, we'll...
She picks up the box. I'd recommend all of you preparing something like this. Places it upstairs... Comes down and sort of opens the door for you to leave.
Who would you send yours to, Zolf?
I wouldn't bother.
Probably send mine to you. Maybe Hamid. Brock. I don't know where he lives.
And I think we'll close there. Bit of a downbeat one. Bit of intrigue. Bit of digging.
Yeah.
Bit of good old-fashioned detective work. Am I right?
Pretty glad we didn't have Bertie shouting in the old one.
Yeah, that wouldn't have...
Where are they? What's happening? Who are you?
Just sitting a dog down in the... Dressed as an investigative journalist in the house of a woman whose daughter is dead.
I feel like I'm much more confused at the end of that episode than I was at the beginning.
Then I've done my job.
No, I think we've got a decent handle.
We know where to go next.
We know where to go next. Well, that's, you know.
Someone basically... keeps leaving us clues. It's great.
RPG 101. As long as you know where to go next, everything will be fine.
I've got theories. It's all right. Be interesting.
It was brutal all along, isn't it?
Yeah, it was.
I'll tell you what, that's our most popular fan theory. It was brutal all along. Well, like I said, I think we'll close there and we will be back next week.
Yeah.
Who knows if James will be here. Either way, tune in next week, guys. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
A wizard of language.
A wizard of the word.
Yeah. Oh man, that sounds like some kind of 80s level.
Doesn't it?
Yo, kids.
Does he sing the Magic E song? Does anyone else? Am I the only one old enough to remember the Magic E song?
Although it's been a long time.
Although, sounds like a warning not to eat artificial sweeteners.
I love the idea that Oscar Wilde is the Wizard of Words and you're the math magician.
The math magician, yes. The math magician.
Can't stab them, never been taught them, not really exactly sure what a government is, apart from a place where lots of money is kept, and go away to ask about newspapers.
A government is people who take our money and put it in big buildings.
But the buildings have stuff that often isn't directly money in, like people and paper that's important. And sometimes you get told to take bits of paper
because it's worth the money.
It's worth the money.
And that's how governance works.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled woe period begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.